Okay, today's daf is Baba Kama daf lamed vav. We left off at the two dots in daf lamed hey amid beis at the bottom. So gufa, Amar Rabbi Bar Nasan, Tano titin v'hadla b'sorin pater. Rabbi Bar Nasan had a chiddush that if someone makes a taina that he is owed chitin, and you admit that you owe him sorin, you're going to be pater, because when someone makes a taina that he's owed chitin, it's ki'ilu he's telling you, you don't owe me sorin. So therefore, he's exempting you from the sorin. He has no raya that you owe him chitin, so you're not going to pay him chitin either, and therefore you're going to be completely pater. You're not going to have to pay him anything. So frankly, Gemara, my kamashmalan, what's the chiddush of Rabbi Bar Nasan? Tanina, we already have a Mishnah that Tano Chitin Vadala B'Sorin Pater, that if someone makes a Taina on Chitin and there's a Hoda'a on Sa'orin, so the Halacha is your Pater. So it sounds like he's Mamish saying the same exact thing as the Mishnah. He uses the same exact words as the Mishnah. Now the truth is, we know he's not saying the same exact thing as the Mishnah. The Mishnah speaks about a case where the Mishnah is talking about the Shavuos Moda B'Mikzas. The Mishnah is not talking about Stam, where someone claims someone else owes him money and the other guy says that he owes him something else. We're talking about Moda B'Mikzas. And we're talking when the halacha by modah b'mikzas. Normally, I tell you owe me $100. You say you owe me $50. So you're modah b'mikzas hataina, and you're chayav shvua. Because we assume that really the Gemara in Shavuos says that we assume that really either you wanted to admit to the whole thing, you just didn't have the money on you right now, so you only admitted to part of it, or you wanted to deny the whole thing, but you didn't have that kind of chutzpah, so you admitted to part of it. But the halacha is moda b'miktsas only works when you're moda mimina taina, when your moda, what you're moda to is the same as what the taina was. It's just a different quantity, but the item itself is the same. So if I'm ton of chitin, if someone says you owe me $100 of chitin, and the other guy says, no, I only owe you $50 of sa'orin, that's not moda b'miktsas, because it's not mimina taina. He's responding with something else. So it's not exactly the same as the Mishnah, but we're assuming that if that Mishnah is true, then Rabbi Bar Nasan is true, meaning Rabbi Bar Nasan is not teaching me any great chiddush. The point is just that they're considered to be two totally separate entities, and they're based on the idea, they're both based on the idea that when a guy makes a taina for X, he means to say, you don't owe me Y. And that's clearly the premise of Rabbi Bar Nasan. So says Gemara, no, ime hasam, hava amina pater midmei chitin v'chayev bidmei sa'orin. Had I only had the Mishnah of Moda B'Miktsas, I would say, yeah, by Moda B'Miktsas, you're pater from a Shavua. But in our case, you would be pater from the Dmei Chitin, but Chayiv B'Dmei Sa'orin, meaning our case, the Tlavdavka Chitin Sa'orin. What was our case in the Mishnah? We're talking about animals, that I say that your large animal damaged my animal, and you say that it was your small animal that damaged the animal. So am I saying, when I say that it was your large animal that damaged, that it definitely wasn't your small animal, and therefore you don't have to pay me, you're going to end up having to pay me nothing? No, maybe just based on the Mishnah about Minataina, you only see that it's not Minataina Legabe Moda B'Miktsas. But over here, maybe in Echnani, you would have to pay me whatever value you would owe me had your small animal done the damage. So Kamash Malan de Pata Legamri. That's why Rabbi Bar Nasan comes along and tells me, and no, you're Pata Legamri, that when you say that when Shimon says to Reuven, your large animal damaged my animal, it's ki'ilu he's saying your small animal did not damage my animal, and I'm mochel on anything that your small animal may have done. So now the Gemara is going to try to bring a couple of rayas from our Mishnah against Rabbi Bar Nasan. So, raya number one, Tanan, hayu anizakin shnayim, echad gadol ve'echad katan. If the nizak, there were two nizakin, there were two animals that got damaged. One was large, one was small, and the Mishnah went on to explain, and two mazikin, one large, one small, and the nizik says, it was your large animal that hurt my large animal, your small animal that hurt my small animal. The mazik says, it was v'nahapuch, it was lahapuch, it was the exact opposite. So the Mishnah had paskind, hamotzi mechaver olav haraya. The nizik wants to get paid the maximum amount of money, he's going to have to bring a raya. What if he doesn't bring a raya? Then what does he get paid? So says Gemara, the implication of the Mishnah is, haloma maisi raya shakal kudakamer mazik. Sounds like if he doesn't bring a raya, it's not that he doesn't get paid at all, it's that he's going to get paid exactly what the mazik says he owes. Amai, chitumusa orim ninhu. But why should that be the case? Isn't this exactly chitumusa orim? The Nizik is saying, your large animal damaged my large animal, which by implication is saying, your small animal did not damage my large animal. He says, your small animal damaged my small animal, which by implication is saying, your large animal did not damage my small animal. So shouldn't the mazik be putter entirely according to Rabbi Barnasan? Says Gemara, roi li tol ve'ein lo. Now, our diuk is incorrect. We don't mean to say that if he doesn't bring a raya, he would still collect, but only collect what the mazik says he owes. No, if he doesn't bring a raya, that's it, it's over. He doesn't collect anything. Vatanya, but the Braisa tells us otherwise. The Braisa that expounds on this Mishnah adds in a line, and it says, HaReza Mishtali Malakatan Min HaGadol. That you do get paid as per what the mazik claims happened. Sansa Zagmar de Tafas. Now that's only if you were toe-faced. But normally we would just say Amotzi Mechaver Lafrayu, you wouldn't get anything. But if you're toe-faced, that lesser amount, we would let the nizik keep it. If you were toe-faced, the larger amount, we wouldn't even let him keep it because he's violating the psak halacha of Amotzi Mechaver Lafrayu is a psak. Right, we wouldn't say that he could be toe-faced and then say Hamotzi Mechaver Alav Raya. Now you're trying to be motzi from me. Once the psak was made of Hamotzi Mechaver Alav Raya, when he's toe-faced, it's too late. Second, next raya against Rabbi Barnasan from our Mishnah, Tanan. We had a case in our Mishnah where one of the animals was a tam, one was a muad. Hanizik omar muad hizik es hagadol v'tam es hakatan. So the nizik obviously wants to say the muad damaged my larger animal, and therefore you have to pay nizik shalim on my larger animal. Your tam damaged my smaller animal, therefore you pay chati nizik on my smaller animal. V'amazik omar, and the mazik says loki. Ela tamis hagadol umuad es hakatan. He says, no, it's not that way. Rather, it was the tam that damaged the gadol, and therefore I'm only going to have to pay you chatzi nezek on the gadol. It was the muad that damaged the katan, I'll pay you nezek shalim on the katan. Hamotzi mechaver alavaraya. So the Mishnah in that case is as well paskind, that if you want to get paid what you're claiming, you need to prove it. What happens if you can't prove it? Hello, my siraya. Shakil kidukam mazik. Sounds like you would take whatever the mazik had claimed actually happened. Va'amai, why should that be the case? Chitinusa orininhu. Isn't this exactly Rabbi Barnasan's case of chitinusa orin? When I claimed that it was your muad that damaged my larger animal, isn't that the same as saying that your tam did not damage my larger animal, and therefore I'm not going to collect chati nezek for what happened to my larger animal? Sansa's Gemara again. Roy little ve'in lo, that it's roy for him to take if he's toe-face it, but I'm sorry, it's roy little, but he doesn't actually take it. So says Gemara v'atanya reza mishlam l'katam min amur l'gadol min atam. But doesn't the Braisa say that you do get paid the lesser amount, the amount that the mazik claims? So to tafas, that's only if you're a toe-face that you're going to get paid. If you look at Tosfos, roy little ve'in lo. Pirish roi little im tafas ve'in lo im lo tafas. Right, the exact lashon means it's roi for me if I'm toface it, meaning I get to keep it, but it's ein lo if I'm not toface. Tells us that adds v'dafka hicha diyeshlo tavia al shnei hashvarim al gadol v'al katan im tafas mishtalim. It's only when he has some sort of claim on both of the shvarim, on the larger and the smaller one, then we say that if he's toface, he gets to keep it. Aval nasnisin tila el dainlo tavia el al hagadol afilu tafas hakatan im mishtalim inei. But previously, when he only has a tavia on the larger animal, then even if he's tofes the katan, he would not be able to be mishtalim from it, because that's not at all related to what he's owed. It's when he has a tviya on both of them, we're just not sure how much, so then he can take the lesser amount from the animals, and get to keep it. But otherwise, he would not get to keep it. Okay, then we have that cryptic line in the Mishnah, Hayishneim shal ish echot shneim chayavim. The Mishnah had said that if both of the shvarim that are suspected of doing this damage, we saw two oxen running after one poor little animal, and then we saw the poor little animal got hurt by one of these oxen, but we can't identify which of the oxen it was. So we said, if the two oxen were belong to two different owners, so you're not going to be able to collect anything, because each owner will say, it wasn't my ox, it was the other guy's ox. But we said, if they both belong to the same owner, shneim chayavim, they're both going to be chayiv. So what does that mean, that they're both going to be chayiv? Amrle Rava mi parzika la Ravashi. Shmamina shvarim tam sheziku. Ratza mizegove. Ratza mizegove. What you see from here is that if two short times do damage, so you can collect from which, or two shvarim tamim, one of them does damage, you can collect from whichever one you want. Right, you can collect from whichever one, and therefore, says Rashi, the implication being v'im avara echad kam chaveru b'mekomo mishalim imenu, that if one of them gets lost, so you can get paid with the other one. You can use the other one as your payment. So apparently, how are we understanding shneim chayavim? Not that you have to pay from both of them. Only one of them did damage. We don't know which one, so it doesn't make sense that you'd have to pay from both of them. Shneim chayavim means that you have, that there's an option of which one to get paid from, when we don't know which one it was, but they both belong to you, so we know you're chayiv for the damage, so you can get paid from one or the other. So says the Gemara, the implication would then be that if one of them gets lost, you can get paid from the other one. So says the Gemara, hacha mayaskinan b'muadin. Says the Gemara, no, the case of our Mishnah, you can't derive anything from our Mishnah, because the case of our Mishnah is that it's a shor muad, and therefore you're not paying megufo. So in a chinami, if you're paying megufo, then and one of them gets lost, you can't just collect from the other one, because how do you know that it's the goof of this shor? Maybe it's the goof of the shor that got lost. Over here we're dealing with muadin. Now if it's a muad, so I understand very well that if one gets lost, you can collect from the other one. You can collect from whichever one you want, because a muad, you don't pay megufo, you pay me an aliyah. So it's just a chov. The mazik owes something to the nizik. He owes money to the nizik. But it's not that this animal is particularly earmarked for the nizik. Whether you go like Rabbi Akiva, that it's partially owned by the nizik, or Rabbi Shmuel, that it's a chov within this animal for the nizik. It's neither of those things by a muad. By a muad, you just mishalim min aliyah. So that's the case of the Mishnah. The Mishnah is dealing with the case where it's a muad. In fact, the Gemara, really? Ibn muadin, ema seifa, haya echad gadol vechad katan. If we're dealing with a muad, if you read Vayter in the Mishnah, it doesn't really work out so well. Because if you read Vayter in the Mishnah, it says, if one of them was a large ox, one of them was a small ox, Hanizik Omer Gadol Hizik, Vamazik Omer Loki, Elokatan Hizik, the Nizik says that it was your large ox that damaged my ox. The Mazik says, no, it was my small ox that damaged your ox. Hamotzi Mechaver Olav Raya, the Nizik wants to collect a larger amount, he's going to have to prove it. Wait a second, the damage is the same. There's no argument in the assessment of the damage. The argument is only which ox did the damage. So if it's a short time, I understand very well what they're arguing about. You're only going to pay megufo. So if it's the small ox, the maximum you're going to pay is the value of the small ox. If it was the large ox, then you have a much higher ceiling in terms of the damage paid. But ibn muadin, if we're dealing with a muad where you're going to pay min aliyah anyway, my nafkale mina sof sof to make to ramaliyah by lushlume. What nafkamina is there? What difference does it make? Either way, you're going to pay the full amount of whatever damage you did. So there should be no nafkamina if we're dealing with a muad. Amalei seifa b'tam in v'reisha b'muad. He said, no, the seifa is dealing with a short time, the reisha is dealing with a muad. Amalei ravacha sabla ravashi. But wait a second, even if you want to say that this line in the Mishnah is dealing with a muad, chayavim chayav gavra mi bayulei. What did it say? That if both oxen are owned by the same person, they are chayav. Their chayav implies megufo. It implies that there's a chayav on the oxen in some way. But it should have said chayav gavra. If we're dealing with being mishalim and aliyah, it should have said that the guy is chayav. Vesu, my shnehem. What does it mean that shneihem chayavim? If the chiyuv is only on the gavra, what are you talking about? Shneihem chayavim, both of them. What do you mean? There's only one gavra. There are two oxen owned by the same guy. So it says Gemara, el liola b'tamin. Really, we're dealing with a short time. We're not dealing with a muad. If you look at Rashi, liola b'tamin v'haydik tani shneihem lav k'dika amr demez hashir to yigve. Shneihem does not mean that you can collect from whichever one you wish. El hakam ashvelan de kol zman sheshneihem b'faneinu gova. That the chiddush is when it says shneihem is that you're only able to collect anything when they're both here. If one of these oxen in question got lost, you wouldn't be able to collect anything because they're both tamin. You're only collecting a gufo, and you can't prove that it's the guf of the remaining ox. It may be the guf of the lost ox. So shneya means that you can only collect when they're both present. For Rabbi Akiva, and we're assuming like Rabbi Akiva, tamar shutfin dinu, that when my shar tam damages your shar, you become a shutaf in my shar. And the only reason you can get paid is because whichever one it was, they're both here, I own them both, so whichever one it is, you have a part ownership in one of them, whichever one it is. So I can't be docha you and say, go to someone else. No, you're coming to me. I'm the guy that's your shutaf in one of these shvarim. We just don't know which shvar it is. But certainly you can get paid in that instance. But if they're not both around, I can tell the guy, bring me a raya that it was this shor that damaged you, and I'll pay you. It's an interesting machlokas Rashi tells us over here. And what about Rabbi Ishmael? Rabbi Ishmael says they don't become shutfin, right? That when my shor damages your shor, you don't become an equal shutaf in the shor. It's just that I owe you the money. The mazik owes the nizik the money, the value of half of the shor, but not that he owns that the nizik owns the shor. So says Rashi, the last three lines of the Rabbi Ishmael. Kivan da Amar Bal Chovhu Vizuzehu da Asikbei. But according to Rabbi Shmuel, since he said Rabbi Shmuel holds he's a Baal Chov and he only owes him money, if one of them gets lost, you don't lose anything. Because I still owe you money. It doesn't matter that the animal itself got lost. Granted, I owe you the money, megufo, but so what if one of them got lost? It's really just a monetary payment that I owe you. If you become a shutaf and one of them gets lost, I could say, look, it's the shor that you're a shutaf in that got lost. So we have no business dealings anymore. You know, I don't owe you anything anymore. It was your shor that got lost. The shor that you partially own that got lost. But according to Rabbi Shmuel, where they're not shutfin, where he just owes you money, so then you can't make such a taina. Says Tosfos, he doesn't think that's correct. If you look at Tosfos on the first wide line, v'kasha da'le'el amar afilu l'Rabbi Shmuel shachtu masha asa asui. Rabbi Shmuel holds, even Rabbi Shmuel holds that if you shecht it, so what's done is done. Meaning, even Rabbi Shmuel would hold that you lose if the animal gets lost. That the nizik would not be able to collect if the animal gets lost, even though it's only a monetary payment within the guf of the shor. If the shor is gone, the nizik loses. So how can you say that Rabbi Shmuel over here would say if the shor is gone, still the nizik doesn't lose? The reason why the Gemara wants to say it's like Rabbi Akiva is the following. No, the pshat is that according to Rabbi Shmuel, it's obvious that the pshita di'ived zuchusuk shavet echad. It's obvious that if one of them gets lost, that the nizik loses any chance he has of retrieving anything. That would be obvious, according to Rabbi Shmuel, the exact opposite of Rashi. Rashi says it wouldn't be true. Tosfos says it would be obvious. Kivin de Baal Chov, who since he's a Baal Chov, Avla Rabbi Akiva, to Shutfin inu, but according to Rabbi Akiva, that they're considered Shutfin, Salka Daitach Tavikilua Echad Minashraim Becheskas Hanizik. I might think that it's as if one of the two Shvarim is considered still already in the Chazak of the Nizik. Umatsil Meimar Nizik Shalacha Nevad Vlo Shali. So the Nizik can say, you want to be Motzi Mechavero, you want to take something out of my chazaka, prove to me that it was my shar that got lost. Prove to me that it was the shar that I had a shutfas in that got lost. Maybe it was the shar that belonged exclusively to the masik that got lost. And the shar that I have a shutfas in is still here, and therefore let me just lay claim to my shutfas, to my portion in that shor. Meaning, I might have thought, according to Rabbi Akiva, that the nizik is called a muchzak already, since he has a din of shutfin. And if he's called a muchzak, hamotzi mechaver alavarai, means you can't take anything away from him. So that's why it's a chiddush within Rabbi Akiva. But it's, according to Rabbi Shmuel, it's true, same halacha, but it wouldn't be a chiddush within Rabbi Shmuel. That's the machlokes Rashi tells us. I don't say in the last line of the third parak. Okay, hadron alacha meniach. New parak. Let's say a shor gores four or five shvarim, one after the other. Yishalim la'achron shabem. So you pay the last one. The Rashi points out that all of them, at the time that it damages all of them, it's still a shor tam when it damages all of them. So the obvious question is, wait a second, if it gores four or five times, doesn't that necessarily mean it's no longer a shor tam? Right? Isn't a shor mu'ah defined as a shor that's gored three times? So by the time it's gored, it's fourth or fifth animal. It's Vada Yashar Mu'ud. How could we be understanding that it's talking about a short time? So Rashi explains, Ubekulan Hayatam Dimishtali Megufo. All of the animals that he has to pay for, we're going to be discussing. The payment has to come Megufo because the Mazik was a short time. Vehechi Dami, how could that be? Kigon Ra'a Shar V'Nagach, V'Ra'a Shar V'Lo Nagach. First it sees a shar and it gores it. Then it sees another shar and doesn't gore that other shar. V'ra'a shar v'nagach. Then it sees a third shar and gores that one. V'achar negicha shniya ra'a beis pam mo gimel shar v'lo nagach. And then it sees two or three other sharim and does not gore them. Da'filu mu'ad l'seirugin leka. Meaning mu'ad has to develop a pattern of damaging. It's not just an animal that is damaged three times in its life. No, it's an animal that's developed a pattern. Pattern might be, it damages, we'll see soon, it might be that it damages every Shabbos. It might be that it damages only on weekdays, but not Shabbos. It might be that it damages every other day. Has bad days and good days every other day, or it could be every third day. As long as there's a pattern. But if this animal did damage without a pattern, right, it damages every shard it sees. That's a pattern. Every other shard it sees. Over here, this animal damaged a shard, didn't damage, damaged, then didn't damage two or three, and then damaged again, so there's no distinct pattern. Even mu'ad l'sirugin, you don't have. D'sharei nasa mu'ad, elim kei nagach ha'gimel l'gichos b'shlosha sharoa kisidron, o shalo kisidron v'nasa mu'ad l'sirugin. Right? It can only be if there's a pattern, whether it be the most direct pattern, which is one right after the other, or it's b'sirugin, it skips, but at least there's a pattern to the skipping. And the Seirugin have to be equal, right? This is similar to Hilchos Nida, except by Hilchos Nida, the Seirugin don't have to be, may not have to be equal, meaning if a woman sees dam, let's say, by Vestos, if a woman sees dam after 25 days, and then after 26 days, and then after 27 days, so that could be the establishment of a pattern that she's going to be, she's gonna have to be choshish for Vestos on day 28, because you see that it keeps on going up. Of course, in the reverse, it's a shaila, because in the reverse, the whole assumption is that you assume that she might be starting a pattern that can continue forever. So if it's going up in numbers, you can assume she's approaching menopause. So eventually it's going to just go further and further away till she stops bleeding. If it's going down in number, so that wouldn't work. Likely wouldn't work, because what kind of pattern are we suggesting is going to go on indefinitely? That she's just going to bleed to death because she's going to bleed constantly eventually. So that's a different issue. But again, we'll try to leave Vestos out of this. But the point is that there has to be some sort of patterns. Now let's take a look at the Mishnah. A shartam. Each time it gores, it was a shar time. It was the same shar, but of course, four or five different shvarim, zeh or zeh, yishalim la'achron shepem. So the last one that, of course, it pays the real chatzi nezek. It pays full chatzi nezek megufo. Let's say the shar mazik was worth a lot more than the shvarim that it's gored, so there's some extra. After it pays the chatzi nezek megufo, there's still extra. V'im yeshbo, mosar, if there's a little extra, yachzer l'shalafanav. So then you try to pay off the chatzi nezek of shar number four that accord. V'im yeshbo mosar, yachzer l'shalafanav. If there's still some extra, then you try to pay off the chatzi nezek of shar number three. V'achron achron iskar divrei meir. The last one is always the one that wins. That's Rameir Shita, that you always go with the last one to be the lucky winner. Rabbi Shimon Omer, shar shav masayim shnagach, shar shav masayim in nevel, yafa klum, a shar that's worth 200 gors, a shar that's worth 200, and the nevel of the damagee is worth nothing. Zenot almana v'zenot almana. Then they split it, each one takes $100 of the shar that did the damage. Again, it's a shar tam. Chazar v'nagach shar acher shav masayim. Let's say it then goes and it damages another shar that's worth 200. Now ha'achronot talmana, the last one that it damaged gets 100, gets the chatzi nezek. V'shalafanav zenot al chamishim zuz v'zenot al chamishim zuz. But the original owner and the first nizik only get $50 each. Now why should that be the case, that they only get $50 each? So pashtus is, we're assuming like Rabbi Akiva, right? Rabbi Akiva assumes that when shar A damages shar B, when Reuven and shar damages Shimon shar, let's say it that way, Reuven and Shimon become shutfim in that shar. So let's say a shar of shnei shutfim goes and damages Levi's shar. So what's the halacha? Levi gets chatzi nezek megufo, and Reuven and Shimon will get the other half. They split the other half of the shar. because Reuven and Shimon are considered shutfim in that shar. So if they're shutfim and their shar that they own b'shutfis goes in damage, they have to each give up half of what they own in it in order to pay that off. So, and it keeps on going. So now Levi becomes a shutaf in that shar, right? Because now Levi has been damaged, but he's a 50% owner, and Reuven and Shimon are 25% owners each, right? But then Chazav and Shar Acher Shav Masayim. Then it goes in, of course, another shar that's worth Masayim, Ha'achro Notal Mana. So again, the last guy is going to become a 50% owner. Everyone has to give, all the previous owners have to give up 50% of their ownership to the Nizik. So the last Nizik, so he gets 50%, he gets 100. V'shalafanav Chamishim Zuz Ushnayim, V'shalafanav Chamishim Zuz, the one before that will own 50 Zuz of the shar, it was originally worth 200. So he owns 25%, which is 50 zuz, was Shai Marishon, Dinozav, and the ones and Reuven and Shimon, the two original guys, will own only a Dinozav, will own only 25 zuz within the shar, which is 12.5% of the shar. Because again, we're assuming like Rabbi Akiva that you become a shutaf, and becoming a shutaf means that you're chayiv in the nezek that it does, the same way the other owner is chayiv in the nezek that it does. If we would assume like Rabbi Shmuel that it's just a chayiv mamon, then obviously none of this would be true. This is all assuming that there's a shutfus. So says Gemara, Masnisin Mani, who is the author of our Mishnah? Delok Rabbi Shmuel, Delok Rabbi Akiva. Now we're going back to the original, the first part of the Mishnah. It seems to be against both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. Why? Ik Rabbi Shmuel damar bali chavos ninu hay achron achron niskar rishon rishkon niskar mi bailei. If you assume like Rabbi Shmuel that they become bali chov, so why should the last guy be the one to win? If I owe a lot of different people money, so who collects first from me? The one I owe the money to first. It doesn't go, the bal chov mu'ucha doesn't win. He doesn't collect ahead of the other guys. If you look at Rashi, rishon niskar mi bailei va'achron yafsid, the last guy should lose. Sharei ein rishon shutaf ba, because the first guy is not a shutaf with him. Shetei shmiraso olav lischayev benizakin, that he should bear any culpability for the further damage that this ox does. If you say like Rabbi Akiva that the first nizik becomes a shutaf with me, so I understand very well. He's going to have to lose when this animal goes and does further damage because he's a part owner of the animal. So, but v'halo dami l'chavat shelo hizik damrin b'miniach, nor is this similar to a case of chavat shelo hizik, like we say in Daf Lamed Gimel, kadmu balichovos v'igviu lo asu klom, where if the balichovos come and collect earlier before the nizik, that collection is worthless. You can't say that over here, that if the latter guy collects first, if the first nizik collects, that his collection is worthless because there's another nizik. No, over there we said that by a bal chov who collects before a nizik. Why? Because the nizik can say, I have a special relationship with that animal. I'm supposed to be paid megufo. And therefore, you're a bal chov, your own money, anything in his estate. You have no special connection to that animal. So you can't go and collect before me in that animal. But over here, they're both nizakin. They're both people who have a special stake in the animal. So it's not shaykh to say that the last guy should have the benefit. Adrabah, the first guy should have the benefit. We're not going to read it inside, but that's what the rest of Rashi says. We're a little time pressed. So says Gemara, Ikra, that's why it can't be Rabbi Shmuel. Ik Rabbi Akiva, now if the ratio, we're going like Rabbi Akiva, Damar Tura de Shutfihu, who says that it's a shutfus, that as soon as my shar is mazik your shar, we both become shutfim in my shar. Hi Yeshba Mosar, Yaksil the Shalafanov. Why does it say if there's Yeshba Mosar, if there's extra, you go back to the previous guy, Yaksil the Kula Mibaile. You should go back to all of them. Rashi, Yaksil the Shalafanov, Kol Chatzi Niskov, the Shalafanov Yafsidu, meaning why would you pay off the guy before his full Chatzi Nezek? And then the guy before that would lose out entirely. It should always go back to everybody based on their percentage ownership in the shar, like we say in the seifa, right? That everyone became an owner as soon as they were damaged. So we should always go back to what percentage of ownership they have in that shar. We should never just say cut out the first couple of nizakin. You don't say that if they became a shutaf in the shar. So Amar Rava Liolam Rabbi Shmuel. So really, we could say that the Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shmuel. Da Amar Balichovos Ninu. It says that the Balichovos. Ayu, the kashla, achra, nachra, niska, rishon, niska, mibayilei. The kasha that we had, why does the last guy always win? It should be the first guys who win. Over here we're dealing with the case where the nizik was tofes to collect from it, and then because he was tofes it, he became like a shomer sachar in regards to nizakin, and therefore he's going to bear the responsibility for all payments because he's the one that took it upon himself to watch over the shard. But wait a second, then if there's extra, why do you go to l'shalafanav? You should go to the Bailim, who wasn't responsible for the damage. So the Nizik, who you're going to pay back now, was responsible because he was tofes and he became the Shomer. It should go back to the Bailim. If you look at Rashi, Yaksul the Bailim Bailay, Dana the Bailim Lahafsin Mana Shailan Bo. The Bailim shouldn't lose their 50% that they own in that Sharmi Shas Nezek Rishon from the moment of the first damage, Shari Lohai Sashmirasu Alayan. El Ala Nizik, because it wasn't the Bailim, the original Bailim's job to watch it anymore, because the Nizik took it upon himself to do it. Ukshizik Lashani, and therefore when it goes and gores and it damages a second shard, Ibid Rishon Mana Shalom. The first Nizik should lose his mana in the shar because he's the one that was responsible for watching it. Then the second guy goes and becomes a shomer. Fine, and that's they each become responsible. So it means that the nezik of the last guy, let's say, of the previous guy was a greater nezek than the nezek of the last guy. Rashi gives the example. Let's say the shoshal ravi was worth 100. So yesh lo b'mazik chatzi mana v'shal chamishi shava nun, and the shor of the fifth guy was worth 50. Ve'ein lo alzeh el adinar zav, and therefore he's only owed 25. So then yachzer dinar zav l'shalafanav. So the extra 25 goes back to the guy before him. Im nisko shalrishon yosel shalachron. If it's not the same amount of damage, the last guy is owed only chati nezek of what happened to him, and therefore there's still money left over within the for the nizik to be able to collect with the original bailum still keeping their full 50%. Within the second 50%, there's enough to go around. That's what it means. That the whole issue over here is the pshia of the shomrim, of the nizik who took upon himself the shmira. So b'mayu kimta, how do we explain the Mishnah? Rabbi Shmuel. We said the Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shmuel. How are you going to explain the seifa then? Rabbi Shimon, Shoshav Masayim. We said in the seifa of the Mishnah, $200 shor gores, $200 shor. Vein and veil yafklum, then veil is worthless. Zenotalmana. So each one takes 100. It then goes and gores another shor that's worth 200. Ha'achro no talmana. So the last guy gets 100. V'shalafanav zedot l'chamishim zuz v'zedot l'chamishim zuz. And the two previous guys get 50 each. Chazav nag shor shav masayim. And then goes and gores another shor that's worth 200. Ha'achro no talmana. The Mishnah said the last guy gets 100. V'shalafanav zedot l'chamishim zuz. The one before that gets 50 zuz. V'shnayim arishonim dinar zav. And the first two guys each get 25. So who's that clearly going like? That's Seifas, as we explained when we read the Mishnah. Asan Rabbi Akiva, Damar Tura D'Shutfihu. It's obviously going like Rabbi Akiva, who assumes that the Shvarim are owned B'Shutfas now. So Reish Rabbi Shmuel, the Seif Rabbi Akiva, really, the Reish is going like Rabbi Shmuel, and the Seif is going like Rabbi Akiva? I mean, the way we're making the Ukimta and the Mishnah, the Reish can only be going like Rabbi Shmuel, and the Seif can only be going like Rabbi Akiva. Says Mara Amri in, yeah, we have such a tradition that the Reish is going like Rabbi Shmuel and the Sefer is going like Rabbi Akiva. It's the only way to explain it. There's no other option. So that's clearly the case over here as well. Nu alacha, tanan hasam, hatokeya lechaveru nosin lechsela. If someone is tokeya to his friend, so he gives him a sela. What does it mean, tokeya? So Rashi says, hamakeu keneged ozno. Right, tokeya sounds like he made some sort of noise. So Rashi says, no, it means you hit him right near his ear. Lashon Mari Lishnachrina Tkiya Mamish. Others say, no, it means you made a noise. You did something that damaged him by making some sort of loud noise. So you tokel a chaveru, you give him a sella. Rabbi Yehuda Amar B'Shem Rabbi Yossi Aglili Mana. Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Rabbi Yossi Aglili that you give a mana, that's the payment. What are we talking about? So Rashi, why is there a set amount of money? Shouldn't it depend on how much damage you did? So Rashi says, no, Nosan Nosella Demei Boshta Levad Tsar V'Nezek Ripoy Im Yashem Sham. No, we're only talking about Boshes now. Forget about the Tsar, the Nezek, all that is determined based on the case, case by case basis. But the Boshes, we assume, the Boshes that one goes through for being Nitka in this way is always going to be a Sela. That's just the assumption. So says Gemara, who gavra detaka lechavrei? A guy was tokea his friend. Shalchei Rav Tuvia Bar Masna lekamei de Rav Yosef sela tzuri tnan or sela medina tnan. So Rav Tuvia Bar Masna wasn't sure what to do. So he sent a shaila to Rav Yosef. When we say that you give a sela, what kind of sela? Is it a sela tzuri, which is dalad zuz, or a sela medina, which is 1/8 the value of a sela tzuri? It's a half a zuz. So is it which way does it work? Which is the assumed Dmei Boshes? So Amalei Tanisua Ushnaim Rishonim Dinozov. He says, just look at our Mishnah, because our Mishnah says that if they keep the animal keeps on damaging, right, within the safe of the Mishnah, that we're assuming that everyone keeps on becoming Shudfin. So how far does our Mishnah go? It goes to the point where the first two guys each own $25 within the animal. They each own a Dinozov, which is $25. But Visal Kadaitach Tani Tana Sela Medina, but if you hold that Mishnais in general will speak in terms of a Sela Medina, meaning they'll speak in terms of such currency, then we should have gone even further. Niflog Venisni Atresor Vesela. We should have gone another step, had it been Mazik another one, and said, yeah, now each of the first guys own 12 plus a Sela, because the Sela is half a dinar, so we should have said like that. So, but obviously you see, therefore, that Tanayim don't deal with the Sela Medina. They only deal with the Sela Tzuri. So you want to know, when you talk Kehel HaChaver, what kind of Sela we're talking about, we're obviously talking about the more valuable Sela, because we see from our Mishnah that Tanayim don't deal with the less valuable Sela. They don't get involved. So I'm like, Tanaki Ruchalasim Vlezli, so what kind of Raya is that? What, the Mishnah has to keep on going? We get the idea in our Mishnah. That's why the Mishnah stops short. It's not because the Mishnah doesn't want to talk about a cheaper Sela. No, it's because we know what's going on. We figured out. We got it. So my Havila, what's the halacha of the Maisa? Pashtu mehadam ravidom rav. Kol kesef amru b'tor kesef tzuri. Vishal devreim kesef medina. Anytime kesef is mentioned in the Torah, it's always kesef tzuri. And in the rabbinic works, kesef that's mentioned is always kesef medina. Amalei hu gavra holu palga dezuzuhu lo be'ina nasfelaniim. So a guy said that since it's only a palga dezuza, I'm not interested in it. Why don't you just go give it to aniim? Right? Someone was hurt, was injured, and he said instead of the boshes, just I'm not the half a seller. Who needs it? Give it to aniim. Hadar amalei nasfelani ezel va'avri be'nafshai. Then he said, you know what? I changed my mind. Why don't you give it to me instead of giving it to the aniim? So is that okay? After he originally said give it to the aniim, he said he changed his mind. He wants it himself. Amalei Rav Yosef kvar zachu be'aniim va'afagav delek aniim hacha anan yad aniim anan. Even though there are no aniim over here, we have the right to assume that we are the yad aniim, and therefore he's not allowed to go back and change his mind. Tam Rav Yidom Hashmuel Yisomim in Tzrichim Prusbul. Like we know, Yisomim don't require a Prusbul. Why don't Yisomim require a Prusbul? Because we are the yad of the Yisomim, and therefore it's as if it's already in the control of Beis Din. A Prusbul is the same as most Ashtros of the Beis Din, so we assume that it's already in the control of Beis Din. V'chein Tani Rami Bar Chama Yisomim in Tzrichim Prusbul Ram Gamliel Beis Din Avi En Shal Yisomim Habu, and therefore it doesn't require a Prusbul. Now a couple of very important things over here. Anan Yad Aniyim Anan Frek Tosos, even if you're not the Yad Aniyim, tzedakah is something that you're mechayiv ba'amira, right? With the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Darshan's Beficha Zu Tzedakah. As soon as you make a pledge to Tzedakah, you're automatically chayiv. Why do you need the fact that we're Yad Aniyim in order to not be able to back out on it? It's already you're already chayiv because you were no der Beficha. So whatever Tosos answers, we'll get to it probably tomorrow. But the Shach asks, why doesn't Tosos simply answer that if we're binding as a neder, you could be matir neder and uproot the chiv? But since it's binding as a zechiyah, not just as a neder, it's yad aniyim, we were zochim for the aniyim, so you can't uproot the neder. So the Shach says, you see that anytime you pledge money and it's in someone else's hands, you cannot be matir neder, since we assume the person whose hands it's in will automatically be zochah for the aniyim. Hatar Sundarm only works on money that's in the hands of the person who made the pledge, not in the hands of the person who not in the hands of someone else who can be zochah for the aniyim. Big nafkamina alach lemaisa, happening all the time now. Someone pledges big money to tzedakah, and then the market crashes. Then Madoff happens, and they lose all their money. Do they have? If they still have a chiyuv to pay the money? So nafkamina is who had the money, if it ever existed. But who had the money? If the money was in the hands of someone who could be zocha for aniyim, namely not a guy and not himself, it was by some other Jew, then you can't go back on the pledge. But if it's not in the hands of someone who could be zocha for the aniyim, like it's in the hands of a guy, then you can go back on the pledge, because no one was ever able to be zocher for the aniyim.